Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk About It. I'm Jeff Arnold, a five-time best-selling author, publisher of the Arizona 100, and now podcast host for Let's Talk About It, conversations with industry shapers where your story takes center stage. Hey, listen, in the heart of every industry leader lies an innovator and a visionary that has a story just waiting to be told. And at Let's Talk About It, we're going to have conversations with all kinds of leaders and visionaries. Can't wait to have you as one of our podcast guests, too. If you listen to the end, we'll tell you how you can be a guest on a future show. Thanks for joining us. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk About It, Conversations with Industry Shapers. Today, we have Barry Kazire with Team Builders. Can't wait to dig into all the offerings and cool stuff he has to talk about. Barry, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I love it. First off, I covet the art behind you. What do we have there?
I get all sorts of stuff behind me. It's like either cultural stuff or art that I like. I can notice one piece, which people might be interested in. You should check out the live action on Netflix, Star Wars. We got some M.C. Escher, Picasso. And even a rendition of an Andy Warhol, a famous Andy Warhol photograph. So we got lots of stuff back there. We have Batman. So yeah, he's back there. And my wife's a writer. She writes stories in the Regency period. And so that's a top hat from the Regency period. She sells about 3,000 books a month. It's amazing. She does really great. We help authors as well. And then it's topped off with a pair of glasses, which sort of makes it a bit Victorian steampunk.
I love it. Thanks for sharing that, because the background is engaging, pulls you in, so I like it. Let's talk about the Team Builders, your market, your target market, and where you serve clients.
Yeah, we work a lot with coaches, consultants, and CEOs specifically. And what we do is, I tend to reach out to a lot to the Southern United States and to the Midwest, because I'm from the Midwest and I live in the South, I live in Florida. So yeah, I reach out a lot to those guys but as a result, coaches introduce us to all sorts of different types of companies. So we've dealt with a pretty wide breadth of people. And then what we do is we basically deliver remote personnel who could do almost so many things. We specialize in personal assistants, executive assistants, marketing assistants, lead generation assistants, medical billing, which is a niche because I work with a good friend who's a speech therapist, and then recruitment, because we have pro recruiters on the team. And I also have a marketing company, so that's where the whole marketing thing comes in. And so we develop processes, which are winning processes. We give them to really inexpensive assistants, less than $10 an hour, can pop up there to 12 or 15, depending on what you need. And we help people get stuff done so they can move forward.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so let's talk about the Midwest. You said you're from that. That piqued my interest. What part of the Midwest?
I was born in Galesburg, Illinois, which is right up there by the Quad Cities, and lived there for 9 months, is what I heard. I don't remember specifically. And then we moved to East Peoria, Illinois, and I grew up there, which is right across the street, right across the river from Peoria. And then I guess in my mid-20s, I moved to St. Louis. I lived there for 20 years. I still have one of my kids is there, and the other one's down in Arkansas, and my sister's in St. Louis. And then about a decade ago, my wife and I moved down to Clearwater, Florida. So I spent a lot of time in the Midwest. I like the people of the Midwest. So I started to try and touch with them, but I also seem to like the people here in Florida. Yeah, they're cool.
Great people all over the world, right? I'm fortunate to travel to Europe, South America, just all over the places, and great people all over the world. But personal experience says there exists no work ethic like the Midwest work ethic, right?
I think I observed that. My dad definitely had it, and he passed on a really good example of many different things.
Yeah. Salt of the earth people, man. Agreed. I actually from a very small town in Western Kentucky is where I was born until I was 14. So the best radio and TV we could get was WLS from Chicago, but those days are gone.
So let's get back to team builders. Your target market is, of course, coaches and business owners. Do you have a specific vertical or industry that you perform best in?
We tend to split off because team is what it's all about. So we tend to put somebody in charge of specific verticals so we can so that they can specialize and get really good at that one. Like we actually have a division of our company, which is my marketing company. I'll give you an example. That's Fifth Gear Marketing that specializes in auto body and auto repair. And we partnered with an auto body specialist and consultant who helps us to service those individuals. And we do the same thing in the legal arena, also in the speech therapy arena with my friend that I mentioned that we started doing medical billing. She's brought us a lot of medical billing clients. So we tend to like, I found you're right. It's like everybody should have a niche, right? So what we try to do is, because that is the best way to grow, but I like talking to a lot of people and I tend to introduce. So we end up having, we get into a niche and then we develop a team for that niche and a specialist who runs that. So my friend who's a speech therapist helps me run the show. And we have the auto body, the lawyer, and then I even have a partner who has worked in dental for years. And then I really like working with coaches and consultants. And then the coaches and consultants introduce us to other people. So we end up having servicing those guys. I like coaches and consultants because they help business owners to grow. They help people to be successful. And so that's a real alignment of purposes. And then of course, I found just about any business fascinating, right? Just about. There's a couple that I find no interest whatsoever, just one or two. But like sewage handling, people live. So those guys can make money. Somebody's got to do that. But yeah, so I get fascinated in people's businesses and like to help them.
No, it's fantastic. So let's talk about someone's looking to outsource some stuff to VA for marketing, social media, or a host of other products you offer. What's the onboarding look like? What's the time commitment? And how would the journey start?
Yeah, so we do 10, 20, 40 hours. Some people hire multiple VAs that allow them to basically put a whole team there. I've had people hire three to figure out which one was going to work out best. And so that's really great. And the onboarding is first, it usually starts with a discussion with me so I can get a feel for your business and what you're looking at. And then we basically then I introduce you to the team leaders who run the virtual assistant agents overseas, because most of our people are from the Philippines. For we have really good reasons culturally, education wise, and work ethic wise that a lot of people are from the Philippines. We also have people from other places in the world for depending on what's needed, including wherever. But then we go through pretty extensively learning about your business, collecting data both verbally and in writing, so that we can put the right person with a good detailed look at what they're going to be doing, all the specifics and the what's called SOPs or standard operating procedures. I'm sure you know what it is, but it's basically various write-ups that either developed by the client or we download their what they're doing and help create those. And then we put the person in place and then we do there's initial onboarding. We're helping to handhold and make sure that everything meshes. And then there's regular like weekly meetings to make sure everything's going great. And then we end up probably after a couple months, we end up popping those back to less frequently, like monthly with, just basically, awesome. It's all about communication, reporting, and expectations, right?
Yeah, absolutely love it. And can scale easily or scale up or down either way. That's good. Love the onboarding piece there. What's the normal time? Let's just dive into a social media person or a marketing person. What's the normal kind of on-ramp time to develop the SOP, do some standards and benchmarks and some KPIs? What's that look like?
So there's a lot of things the SOPs already exist. So it's and the KPIs are already pretty much there. And we know the ropes. If it's a new process, we might just have to put some extra time in. But usually from the time the person decides to pull the trigger, pay their invoice and such, sometimes within a few days, at the most within a week, we've got candidates that we bring forward. We make our recommendations. We work with them to make a final choice because we have a whole vetting process, which includes testing, extensive interviews, things like that, to make sure we get really the top of the heap, right? So much or the top of the next level kind of people. And then we're off to the races.
Fantastic. Hey, how do you see AI integrating or disrupting, enhancing, or destroying your industry? How does it interact with everything you're doing?
That's great. We actually have, it's funny, people ask me about this, and I actually work with an AI specialist, two of them. One in my marketing company, another who, basically two partners because I try to partner with incredible people that have a similar mindset to me that, and they're just great. And one of the great, there's two things I'd say about AI. One is there's a great quote that say AI will not replace people, but it will replace people who use AI, right? So it's something that everybody needs to learn and utilize. The second thing I would say is don't, the first rule of AI is don't trust AI. So basically AI, there's a lot of reasons not to trust or consider AI a trustworthy person. We teach our people a course as part of our culture is a course from a group called The Way to Happiness. It's at thewaytohappinessinternational.org if anybody wants to check it out. It's a free course on character education. And it basically teaches these 21 basic rules that are just common sense. Treat others the way you'd want to be treated. Respect the beliefs of others. Fulfill your obligations. Be industrious. Be competent. Do not steal. And it goes into extensively like the, it's really great. They even have a movie, like an hour, 45-minute movie that whether you listen to the whole book. And it the person who's using it has to use ethics, and you have because AI doesn't even know the difference between good and evil, right? It has no, it can only have an, and then anyway, there's lots of, it doesn't know what it's, it has no ethics personally. It's just, it is, it has the ethics of a rock, right? Unless, and a rock is, can be good or bad depending on whose hands. So I don't think, I think that the first thing I said is true about people needing to learn it and learn how to use it as a tool and integrate it into, like I just had it come up with a soup recipe for me. Why not? I told it, wrote a really good prompt, gave it, got a soup recipe, and off we go. Yeah. And then imagine having a virtual assistant who's trained in the application of AI, which we do. And then having a person as well, so that there's a lot of people that kind of are slow to catch up. And yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great. Great feedback. Love your viewpoint there, because it's there are very few conversations that are have today that don't exist some sort of AI, right? It's people are using it all over. Some good, some bad. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go back to team builders. Let's start with the creation, the idea itself. Did you start it, or you and some friends started? And then how did the idea germinate?
Yeah, so my wife, I think I mentioned she's a best-selling author. She sells like 3,000 books a month. She's brilliant. She was a sales coach. She ran a drug rehab. She's had incredible amount of experience. And she used to run my marketing part company for about a decade, about 10, 11 years ago. And so I always talk with her about things. I told her about my vision, what I wanted to do, how I would help businesses grow, provide them remote personnel who can help them to apply the 80-20 principle, great book by Richard Koch on, and I apply it a lot to and help others apply it. And I do a whole talk just about that to really leverage what's great about you and really get rid of stuff that you shouldn't be spending your time on. So I talked to her about my whole vision for the thing, and we just talked together, and she actually came up with the name Team Builders. And it's perfect. It fits exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to help you build a team one way or the other within whatever your vision is. And these are with people that I don't tell them. I'm providing SOPs like on social media, but those SOPs have to be tweaked to fit your vision of what you want done. And so that's basically how it came about.
Oh, that's fantastic. Love it. We always ask everybody, all of our guests, and this is the place that is fast forwarded to most in all of our podcasts. Barry, if you will share your hard-won wisdom lesson with our listeners.
Sure. Read and study every week. So I had a period of time where I really didn't do that. I was learning still. I was learning through experience and actually doing things. There was a lot of experiential learning. But basically, there's a big chunk of time, I'd say about, gosh, maybe close to 20 years ago, when I stopped. I was a horrible student in high school, totally dug in to study and everything when I turned 20 and handled. Read so many books, it was crazy. But there was a period of time where I didn't spend a little bit of time every week, maybe 2, 3 hours reading and learning new things. And I feel like I could have made that period of time easier for myself if I was constantly improving myself, investing in me, right? And I've done a lot to invest in me. Even during that time, I was doing other things to invest in me. Now, these days, I actually spend probably gosh, I probably spend 15 hours, not including exercise, investing in me, because it's the asset that I most use to help others.
Oh, it's great, hard-won wisdom. Everyone who's had a trial or tribulation knows that deep down, A, you have a good book inside you, and B, there's a hard-won wisdom, right? So, Barry, thanks for sharing that.
Oh, I forgot to mention, we work with, because of our experience in the author world, we also provide author assistance. So we can actually help people we collaborate with a lot of people who help authors to fill in some of the gaps.
Oh, fantastic. Having written 9 books, I know the fitful experience of it starts out great in a manuscript and it is gut-wrenching every sentence after it. I love it. It's a labor of love, but it is also a labor, right? To get the word, the jot, the tittle, and the comma correct, right? It's for me, it's a beautiful, fitful experience. So at any rate, enough about me. Barry, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
Sure. Oh, I'll share. I'm Barry at stampedebranding.com. That's my email address that I deal with most. That's at my marketing company. And then I'm also going to share with you that you can put my email address out to the world. And you can also report that we've our ebook I put together, 249 Things That a Virtual Assistant Can Do for You. And that ebook is woefully incomplete, but it's a good starting point. It gives you a lot of stuff that a virtual assistant can do. And they just reach out and do through either one of those channels, and I'll be happy to get in touch, spend some time, just give you some help with some direction, or if you need anything that I do, that'd be great too.
Fantastic. Barry Kazire, the website is Stampede Branding and
That's my marketing company for team
Oh,
building.
sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, stampedebranding.com. And for
Team
my
builders.
marketing for team builders, it's teambuilders.agency.
Teambuilders.agency. Barry, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Hi again, Jeff Arnold here. Thank you so very much for listening to Let's Talk About It, Conversations with Industry Shapers. Listen, if you are a successful founder, visionary, entrepreneur, or know someone who is that would be a good fit for this program, please visit or have them visit podcast.jeffarnold.com. That's podcast.jeffarnold.com. Two more quick asks for you, please. If you got something out of this interview, please share it and tag us on social media. I love seeing posts and guest suggestions. And then as a quick reminder, we're always putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any, I would say please go ahead and subscribe to us on all your favorite social media channels. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.